Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, a peaceful Sabbath to you all brethren in Yahushua HaMashiach, who is also known as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Today is Saturday, the 23rd of March, 2024, on the Roman Gregorian calendar, according to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25, and on the Hebrew calendar, which is the Creator's calendar, as per the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, the book of Esther, chapter 9, the book of John, chapter 7, and John, chapter 10. We see the, and also Isaiah, chapter 66. Hallelujah. Now, sorry, today is the 13th day of Adar Bet. Hallelujah. We are in a leap year, which in the Hebrew language, the language of creation, is known as Shana Meuberet, the pregnant year. Hallelujah. And interestingly, we are also in the pregnant month of the year. Hallelujah. This is the final month of Israel being in the being in Egypt, being in bondage or slavery in Egypt or Mizraim. This is the month that leads to the giving birth, the month of the final labor pains. Hallelujah. Of, you know, just before Israel is birthed as a nation. I told you last week, I think it was last week when I was talking about this new month transitioning from the month of Adar Aleph or Adar 1 and into Adar Bet or Adar 2. I shared and said that I had a vision in which I saw the children of Israel leaving Egypt in a hurry, just as it says in the Holy Scriptures. And as they were leaving in such a hurry, I saw like a force pushing them out. You know, as they were coming out, it's like they were coming out of the womb of a pregnant woman. And as they were coming out, they were being birthed as a nation. Hallelujah. They were being birthed as a nation into freedom. Freedom that is defined by the Creator because it has boundaries. The freedom that Satan gives is the one that has no boundaries, is the one that is full of lawlessness, also known as Torahlessness. But the one that Yah gives, YAH, the one that God the Father, Yahweh, also known as Yahweh, also known as Ahaya, Asher, Ahaya, I am that I am. And in short, we can call him Yah. Although Yah can also be the name for the entire Holy Trinity, because each one of them must have that name within their names. So, yeah, the freedom that he gives is freedom that has boundaries. And the way we are to know the boundaries is through reading his commandments, knowing his commandments, meditating upon them, and endeavoring to put them into practice accordingly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My name is Sister Perpetua Mirembe Orshulamit George. And this of Yahushua HaMashiach, the Chief Cornerstone Ministry, and we are on Shabbat Vayikra. So this entire week from last Sunday, we have been reading the book of Leviticus, chapter 1 up until chapter 5, verse 26. Hallelujah. Which are all about the five offerings that are expected of us as children of the Most High God that have been set apart for him. We have been called out of darkness and into his marvelous light, and thus made a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We are no longer worldly. We were once in of the world, but we are no longer of the world. Hallelujah. He has called us by his name and he has engraved our names on the palm of his hand. Hallelujah. And you know, this book, Vayikra, the book Leviticus is known as Vayikra in the Hebrew language, and that word means "and he called." And he crowed, Va Yikra, Va Yikra, and he called. The very first sentence of the book is where we get the name of the book, because Yahweh called Moses out of the tent of meeting to have a word with him, to give him further instructions as to what was going to happen in terms of continuing to be holy as God is holy. Hallelujah. So this happens after the tent of meeting has been put together and the priests have been anointed to begin service, and the Shekinah glory has come down upon the tabernacle of meeting. The Lord begins to give instructions as to how the burnt offerings are going to be done. As to how the offerings are going to be given unto him, what he expects of us, you know, as a reminder of the sacrifice, living a life of sacrifice. We are called to a life of sacrifice, a life of sacrifice. That is another meaning of that is what also it means to be Jewish. What does it mean to be Jewish? To be Jewish means to be set apart for the Lord for his divine purpose. Being Jewish means to be a vessel unto mercy, a vessel unto honor, a vessel unto glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. To be Jewish is to be set apart from the world, from the love of the worldly things, from pining after the worldly things. It implies being called out of the worldly things, out of the love for the worldly things, pining for the worldly things, and constantly focusing on pleasing the flesh, and being translated into focusing and meditating on and loving and pining over the spiritual things. One thing I am learning through a brother called Joel Kaliango, who is from Uganda, Israel, second born, is the issue of the you know, how the devil is always seeking to get us into his net, and how the Lord is you know, trying to get us into eternal life. The devil's net leads to hellfire, you know, eternal damnation, eternal death. Whereas the Lord is trying to get us into eternal life. Now, the devil is always coming to us with the things of this world. He's always trying to get us to satisfy the flesh. And we are to stay away from satisfying the flesh. We are always to desire to please the Spirit. Don't get me wrong, while we are in this world, there is a certain level of enjoyment we are permitted to have. As we see in the book of Ecclesiastes, I've forgotten the chapter, the chapter that says, enjoy this meaningless life with your meaningless wife and blah, blah, blah. We have a certain level that we are permitted to enjoy this life, the life on earth. But it has to be within the boundaries of the holiness of the Most High God, the boundaries of the commandments of the Most High God. Yeah. So we are called to live a life of sacrifice. That's another definition of being Jewish. Whenever you give your life, whoever gives their life to Jesus Christ of Nazareth and decides that henceforth they are going to be in a relationship with the Creator and they are going to endeavor to please him, they automatically become Jewish spiritually, because we are washed by the blood of Yahushua HaMashiach, who is also known as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he is Jewish. He is Hebrew. Hallelujah. Everything about God is Hebrew. Yes, he is the God of all languages because he created them. He is the God of all nations. He is the God of all cultures, especially the godly cultures. But He is a Hebrew God. Everything about him is Hebrew centered. The main, even as I said before, I've shared this somewhere that the crown of the God the Father has Hebrew letters. It doesn't have letters of all the languages in the whole world. It only has Hebrew letters, and it was Hebrew letters that were used to create the entire world. Hebrew letters were used to create the world. Aside from the Ten Commandments, which are a summary of the Torah also generally, which is the 613 commandments. 613, 6 stands for the number of man, 13 stands for rebellion. That's why 613, it's linked to the fruit called the pomegranate, which we normally eat around New Year's time of the year on the Hebrew calendar. New Year's time mainly falls twice a year. There are two major New Year's days, the one around April time of the year. There's one coming up, and that's when the solar eclipse is going to occur. The total solar eclipse on Monday, the 8th of May, is going to occur. Sorry, the 8th of April, 2024, is going to occur. And then there's the New Year's Day that usually falls around September, October time of the year. Hallelujah. So mainly the one in the September, October time of the year is the one we emphasize more, because that is the day that no man knows. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. That is the day that no man knows. It's a Jewish idiom, and which stands for the fact that, the moon, we never know when the moon's going to make its appearance to signal the fact that a new month has begun, a new year has begun. So nobody really knows which day it's going to occur. Hence, we celebrate New Year's Day on 2 days yearly. So we have this season. We know the season in which the holy rapture, or the holy catching away of the bride of Yahushua HaMashiach, also known as Jesus Christ, the Revelation 14 bride, who are the mature bride, part of the barley crop harvest. We know which, we know on which 2 days they are to be taken, but we do not know the exact day. Hallelujah. And we are to be prepared for that season every year, though there it's not, I mean, we will know nearer the time which particular year is going to happen, because the Lord will speak to his people, particularly those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Hallelujah. Psalm 91. So, as I said, today's Shabbat Vayikra is all about being called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. It's also being called by his name. Hallelujah. We are called by his name. We are his. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know why, as I was beginning this, the recording of this audio, I was hearing a song that I know that we normally sing to children. I just had it in my spirit, and I feel led to sing it. So I'm just gonna sing it now, before we continue. But yeah, I forgot to mention that also today is Adar 13, which is a very important day in biblical history as well. And the plan is I'm going to read Esther chapter 9. I would love to read chapter 8 and chapter 9, but I'll mostly read chapter 9 in honor of today as being Adar 13. And then I'll also go into the Torah portion a little bit. Hallelujah. I may not be able to go into all the details, but I will try to do what I can, because I don't always have enough time to expand on things as much as I would love to, due to the fact that I need to attend to my family as well. So this is the song I was hearing in my spirit. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Yahushua loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Yahushua loves the children of the world. Hallelujah. Matthew 18 tells us that we are called to be like the little children, or else we cannot access the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. For the children's personalities or characters generally exhibit what the kingdom of heaven is about. Hallelujah. Children tend to be genuine, they tend to be forthcoming, they tend to be open-minded, they forgive, they are light-hearted, they are friendly, they are outgoing. Generally, they don't carry grudges, mandoriba kaile boshanda, they don't carry bitterness, lemboro bokombi alabosete yanda. So the Lord wants us to be like little children. Hallelujah. He wants us to be like little children. Matthew chapter 18. And he says we should draw more of his children to him as well. Hallelujah. He has come for the lost sheep. He has come for the house of Israel. Hallelujah. There are many lost sheep out there that belong to the house of Israel. Some are already in other religions and they are being deceived. Others do not have any faith whatsoever. And this is one of the reasons the Lord is saying that the gospel must reach the very ends of the earth. We have to preach to the goats. We have to preach to the sheep. Because we can't always know who are the sheep and who are the goats. The Lord knows who are his sheep, for his sheep follow his voice. They hear his voice. They know his voice. Hallelujah. It may take them a little bit of time to accept salvation, but it doesn't mean they are not his sheep. But nevertheless, the goats and the sheep must hear the gospel before the end can come. And the final, I don't know how to explain it now. Basically, the time in which the gospel will reach to the very ends of the earth is going to be the time after the 3 days of darkness, the coming 3 days of darkness, 3 days and nights of darkness that are going to be worldwide, and they are going to be gross days of darkness. Hallelujah. After that period, there's going to be a period of about 40 days or more, during which the bride of Yahushua HaMashiach, the holy bride, the holy bride of Yahushua HaMashiach, who is also known as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, will go round to the very ends of the earth in their glorified bodies and reach everybody with the gospel, inviting them to the wedding supper of the Lamb, just as we see in Matthew 22. Those servants that are sent out to invite to the wedding supper of the son, the king's son, are the bride of Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this will be just like, it will be similar to what happened when Jesus died on the cross. Yahushua died on the cross and resurrected. Then he spent 40 days on the earth, going to different parts of the world, reaching out to various people. So yes, the gospel will reach the ends of the earth around that time. And in fact, around that time as well, the various people, what are they called? First Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 16 to 18. The dead in Christ, hallelujah, the dead in Yahushua HaMashiach. So the dead in Yahushua HaMashiach from the beginning of creation up until that point in time are going to come back and walk the earth, and they too will do one or two things to the glory of Yah Almighty. After which they will be, sometime after that, they will be taken up into the air at the sound of the trumpet or the shofar horn. And then the prophet Elijah of Malachi 4:5-6 will also be called up to invite the bride of Yahushua, the 144,000. So those are the alive people who have not seen death. And the bride of Yahushua, there are 144,000 altogether worldwide. They will be called up into the air as well, and then taken along with Yahushua HaMashiach to attend the wedding supper of the Lamb. But they will spend a little bit of time waiting for the two witnesses to complete their mission, because the two witnesses are part of the Revelation 14 bride. And also the Revelation 7 bride will still be on this earth as well. They'll be the Revelation 14 bride and the dead in Yahushua HaMashiach, also known as Jesus Christ, will be waiting for the Revelation 7 bride as well as the two witnesses to join them before the wedding supper of the Lamb, or the wedding feast of the Lamb can commence. This will be for, you know, the basically 3.5 years between the two holy rapture events, or catching away events. I've diverted now. I'm beginning to forget why I even went into this, but it is well. I think I was talking about the gospel reaching to the very ends of the earth, and my main focus is to let you know that the gospel will reach the very ends of the earth shortly after the 3 days of darkness, because also God the Father, God the Son will make their appearance during the 3 days of darkness. They will visit everybody worldwide who is waiting for them in their homes and is in repentance before them, prostrate on the floor, and they will impart a special impartation upon each person that they visit in their homes, and they will give an opportunity to those whom we have been preaching to up until that point in time but have not yet accepted Yahushua HaMashiach as their personal Lord and Savior. They will reveal themselves to them and give them a chance to accept salvation. And then more work has to be done in terms of reaching out to people after that, in preparation for the for the much more challenging part of the great, the dreadful, and the terrible day of the Lord. Because not long after the 3 days of darkness, the holy rapture to the heavens will happen, after which World War III will begin, and then the war between the aliens or the demons and the people. There will also be the zombie apocalypse, during which demons will cause dead bodies to rise up and walk about the earth, attacking people. But also people who have got the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine, they've been getting different boosters up until that point in time. They will have been negatively affected a lot by that time. And there's something that will be switched on that will cause them to change and begin to act like vampires and zombies. So there's a lot to come in the future, but this audio is not for that. This audio is about Shabbat Vayikra and He Called, as well as Adar 13, the 13th day of Adar. Now, as I continue to minister through this audio, I wish to read Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4-9, which we are to read every day, twice a day, in the morning and at night before bed, in the morning when we wake up, We are to say this prayer as well as the Modeani. Modeani is the prayer in the Hebrew language that says, "Thank you, Lord, for enabling me to wake up today, for enabling me to see another day. Thank you for bringing back my soul to my body. Thank you for, causing my spirit to be able to move inside my body again for another day." And normally there's also the ritual hand washing, the washing of the hands, the washing of the feet every single day in the morning as soon as we wake up. So these are things that the Jewish people do. They look pointless and they seem burdensome, but they all have spiritual implications which are positive in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord himself taught them these things for a reason. And we as believers in Yahushua HaMashiach, who is also known as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we are not to shun these things, because there are many blessings that come with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know that the world always feels like it's in a race. We are always in a race to get to work, race to get to school, race to cook breakfast, race to cook lunch, race to cook dinner, to have this ready, have clothes ready, wash clothes, dig in the garden, do this, that, and the other. And it's like there's no time to do the things that God wants us to do. And this is the challenge we have in this world as the children of Israel, as the children of the Lord. But nevertheless, we are to ask the Lord to give us the grace to be able to do his will accordingly. Hallelujah. You see, Haman has a lot of complaints about the children of Israel. He complained about various things, and one of the things he said is that they don't like to work. They only work for like 3 or 4 hours and then they go for prayer. 3 or 4 hours and then they go for prayer. 3 or 4 hours and then they go for prayer. And it's like they spend their entire day praying and worshiping God and doing the various traditions that the Lord has given unto them, such as the burnt sacrifices and other things like that. They're not, it's like they just don't want to work. He started calling the Israelites lazy. He started to make them look like they are disobedient because they do not align themselves with the worldly laws or the worldly calendar. The way the Lord designed the life of an Israelite is not the same as the way the world has designed our lives to be. We are not meant to work the way we work. We are meant to work a little and worship the Lord and still benefit so much. The way the Lord created the life of an Israelite is they can still be wealthy even through doing only a few hours of work a day, as long as they do some work in addition, but they also prioritize spending time with their Maker. You know, we are meant to pray at least 3 times a day. There is the morning prayer called Shachrit. There is the afternoon prayer, which I forget the name. May the Lord have mercy on me, but I will share another time when I do get a chance to remember. And then there is the evening prayer, which is called Ma'ariv. So there is a demand on our lives as children of God to at least tithe our lives to, okay, Mincha is the afternoon prayer. So Shachrit, Mincha, and Ma'ariv 3 times a day. And this is very clear in the book of Daniel, as well as, I think, the book of Acts chapter 3. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms, and this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, But such as I have give I thee in the name of Yahushua of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising Yah, walking and leaping and praising Yah in the name of Yahushua of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising Yah, walking and leaping and praising Yah in the name of Yahushua of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the book of Acts, I think chapter 3 says that Peter and John went to pray, and they were going to pray at the temple at the after, you know, the during the afternoon prayer session. So they still honored those things. I don't know why Christians believe that these things were done away with when the cross came into play, the crucifixion. All these things were practiced by the apostles. The Sabbath, being sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, the various festivals mentioned in Leviticus 23, and various other Hebrew practices that are holy unto the Lord. Hallelujah. So I was saying, I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9, which we are meant to read twice a day. In the Hebrew language, it's called the Shema. Hallelujah. Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord Yahweh, our God, the Lord Yahweh is one. And thou shalt love the Lord Yahweh thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Hallelujah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord Yahweh, our God, the Lord Yahweh is one. And thou shalt love the Lord Yahweh thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord Yahweh our God is the Lord Yahweh is our God, the Lord Yahweh is one. And thou shalt love the Lord Yahweh thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Hallelujah. There's a lot to unpackage here, but this is not the day for this. But I believe as I'm reading it, you are picking up, I'm hoping you are picking up on one or two things. This is related to the mark of the beast. It's related to the why the Jewish people always have certain plastic or metal, well, or wooden cases outside their doorsteps with some Hebrew letters, and inside is a, you know, a scroll or a piece of paper with the words of this scripture in the Hebrew language. And this also explains why the Israelites generally tend to have certain, some, there's something they have called maybe a tefillin on their heads, tefillin on their heads that bears these words, like a case they tie around their heads with these words, and it's, you can see it on their forehead, and they also tie it on their hands. I personally feel they are taking things to an extreme when the Lord is saying they should tie them around their hands and place them on their forehead, bind them on their foreheads as a sign. I believe that's something they're supposed to do spiritually by continuously memorizing the word of God and endeavoring to practice it accordingly. This scripture is also related to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, which talks about this book of the Lord. You shall not depart from you, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. Hallelujah. And it goes on, and it says that in doing so, we obtain good success. Hallelujah. So there is success that is no good, and there is success that is good. For the Lord to add the word good success is to highlight the fact that we can be successful in a satanic way. We can also be successful in a good way. Hallelujah. So the Shema in the Hebrew language, when we are singing Shema Israel, we normally just sing a few verses, words out of the entire Deuteronomy chapter 9. So I'm going to sing it now. Normally we cover our eyes when we are doing so, and that's how we are to teach the children, to cover their eyes as they are reciting the Shema. Hallelujah. Instead of saying Adonai Eloheinu, I'm going to say Yahweh Eloheinu, because we know his name. Hallelujah. We know his name, so let's call it out, because that's what he wants. And that way we all know the God we are talking about, because everybody talks about God, but which God are we talking about? We must define the God we are talking about. And this is why whenever I'm writing, I say the word Yah. I don't just say God, except when I'm speaking to people that don't understand the Hebrew language, and I'm still introducing them to it and the Hebrew concepts within the walk of faith in Yahushua HaMashiach, also known as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, this is how the song goes. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu,
Yahweh Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Eternal One Yahweh is our God. The Eternal One Yahweh is God alone. Hallelujah. Blessed is God's glory forever and ever. Amen. 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 In Yahushua HaMashiach's name. Hallelujah. So another very important scripture for Shabbat is Psalm 24. There is Psalm 24 and Psalm 91. I can quickly read them for us. I'm not going to read them in the Hebrew. I'm just going to quickly read the English. The earth is the Lord Yahweh's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord Yahweh, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord Yahweh and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Yaakov, Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Yahweh, strong and mighty. The Lord Yahweh, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Yahweh of hosts. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. Lift up your heads, you gates, rise up, you everlasting doors, and here comes the King of glory, enter into full command. Who is this King of glory? Where is the power he comes to claim? Christ is the King of glory, and by his love he rules. Oh, glory be to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From ages past, it was, is, now, and evermore shall be. Amen. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Yahweh, strong and mighty, the Lord Yahweh, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. Amen, 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 in the mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen, hallelujah. This scripture is very appropriate for today, the 13th of Adar, which is a day of battle against the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. But it's also very much related to the resurrection of Yahushua HaMashiach from, well, his resurrection, because he was in hellfire for 3 days and three nights. And, you know, he had to speak to the gates of hell to make way for him so that he could come out of hellfire. Hallelujah. Let's now read Psalm 90. I was going to read Psalm 92, but let's quickly read Psalm 91 first. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. In the mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach, amen. That is our portion. Then Psalm 92, a song for the Sabbath. Hallelujah. It is good, it is good, it is good to give thanks to the Lord on high. Na 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 na. That's a song by Ron Kennelly. He wrote it from this psalm. Hallelujah. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord Yahweh, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord Yahweh, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye shall also see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord Yahweh shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen and amen and amen. In the mighty, mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach, who is also known as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Let's also read Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So this whole chapter is about Sabbath. It's about entering into the rest of the Lord. I'm going to continue in verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. So the promised land of Israel speaks of rest. It speaks of Sabbathness. It speaks of bearing the burden of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, also known as Yahushua HaMashiach, which is light, the light of God, and his yoke, which is easy. Matthew 11, chapter 28 to verse 30. Hallelujah. And in this place, verse 5, again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. These were the Israelites, Numbers chapter 13. They believed that the giants are too big for them to gain access to the promised land, so they lost out. And Moses lost out because of the sin at the waters of Meribah shortly after Miriam's death. He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Yes, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is standing at our door, the doors of our hearts are knocking to enter, is our Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath, the bread of life, the bread of the presence, the bread of affliction, the bread of the presence of the Lord Yahweh, or the bread of the presence of the Shekinah glory. Hallelujah, as well as the bread of affliction and the cup of salvation. Hallelujah. That is what it means for Jesus Christ to be the Lord of the Sabbath. He himself is our Sabbath in such a way that when he comes into our lives, when we open our hearts to him and he lives in us and through us, we have rest of mind, we have the peace of the Lord, we have the joy of the Lord, and we are able to be holy as he is holy. Hallelujah. At the same time, there is a set apart day every week on which we are to enjoy the rest, you know, just rest, just be at peace, worship him, go into deeper, more intimate interaction with him, dwell in his word, fellowship with like-minded people. Play games, you know, do less of the housework, avoid doing housework and cooking on the Sabbath. It can be difficult to avoid, especially when you're new to the whole thing. But as time goes on, we are meant to learn to do things the right way, which is to ensure that we get as much rest as possible on the Sabbath. It is not a day to go to work. I understand that some jobs are demanding and it is, you know, people need to be taken care of. If the job is to do with working in the hospitals or some kind of care support, then that is different. I believe that is different because those people cannot be abandoned just because it is the Sabbath. But, you know, every other work that doesn't necessarily need to be attended to on such a day, we are to endeavor to do away with it and rest at home, rest in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Verse 8. If Jesus, Yahushua HaMashiach, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken for another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Yeah. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. So whoever has entered into the rest of the Lord has ceased from his own works. So the works of the flesh. Hallelujah. As God did from his. Hallelujah. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So we shouldn't be trying to take matters into our hands by trying to satisfy the flesh. We should seek to satisfy the Lord. We should be more spiritual and die more and more to the things of the flesh. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, Jesus Christ, our great high priest. That's the next title. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, Yahweh, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen and amen and amen in the mighty name of Yahushua HaMashiach. So there is the set apart people, the set apart land, the set apart day, sorry, the set apart day, the set apart people, the set apart land, the set apart foods, and set apart other things, set apart clothing, set apart shoes, set apart all kinds of things. So there is a set apart day, a set apart land, and now we know that there is Israel first born in the Middle East as the set apart land. There is also Uganda, Israel second born in Al-Kibulan, also known as Africa, as Israel second born. I've already said that. So as the setup, as another set apart land, hallelujah. And then we've got Sunset Friday to Sunset Saturday as the set apart day, as well as various other, you know, set apart days as recorded in the book of Leviticus 23, Esther chapter 9, John 7, and John chapter, I think it's not chapter 10, sorry, I forget the chapter, maybe chapter, I forget, please forgive me, the one that talks about the feast of dedication. There's the one that talks about the Feast of Dedication, and then there's the one that talks about the Feast of Tabernacles. Anyhow, I'm thinking of bringing this audio to an end, and then do another audio, separate audio, in which I specifically focus on the book of Leviticus chapter 5. Then I'll do another audio on which I'll talk about the Feast of Esther. Briefly, I'll read the book of Esther chapter 9, and I'll talk about the fact that today is the 13th day of Adar. I think it's just better if I bring this audio to an end rather than continuing from where I have stopped. So yeah, I pray that you continue to have a lovely Sabbath. I've not read all the necessary Sabbath scriptures. I've read a few which I can for now, because if I read it, the audio will be much longer than this. When we go to the synagogues for prayers, we actually read more than this. And by the time you leave the synagogue or the church service, you know and you feel that you have definitely enjoyed the presence of the Lord. We spend so much time reciting the scriptures, various scriptures. It is tradition to actually do that every Sabbath, because it is a day of replenishment. It is a day of going to the petrol station to be replenished and pour into the rest of the 6 days in the new week. The Sabbath day is the foundation of every week. Without the Sabbath, the rest of the 6 days have no foundation to sit upon and be strong. Whilst every other day is ordinary, the Sabbath day is extraordinary. It is supernatural. And that is why the Jews light candles at sunset every Friday to separate the ordinary from the extraordinary, to separate the darkness from the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And various other things that I have now forgotten. And then at the end of the Sabbath, we do another small ceremony that in which we separate once again the Sabbath from the rest of the week. And that's called the Havdalah. The other thing we do every Friday evening is the Holy Communion. We do Holy Communion called Kiddush by drinking the cup of sanctification and the bread. We also eat of the bread of the presence of God, hallelujah, which also is the bread of life and is also the bread of affliction. We share a meal. We say blessings over each other as a family. And, you know, the father says a blessing over his wife, over his children. The mother says blessings over her husband, over the children. And we also say the Aharonic blessing that is recorded in Numbers chapter 6, 22 to 27. We share a meal. We continue to enjoy the Sabbath by speaking about various interesting things, how our week has gone. But we also share the word of God. So it is extremely exciting when you learn the Hebrew ways of the Lord. Hallelujah. Even when we are ending the Sabbath, we use wine, but this time around we use one candle that is interwoven. I don't know how it's
I don't know how to explain it, but it's like you've woven a strand of two strands of hair, and we use that as, yeah, it's mostly the wine and that, I think, and spices as well. And then we also sing a song that invites Prophet Elijah to come and do his job, because he's the one that introduces the coming of the Messiah, the second coming of the Messiah. He's the one that also welcomes the Messiah when it is time to take the bride of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or Yahushua HaMashiach. This is why five Elijahs are sent all together before the second coming of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And after those five Elijahs, the very first Elijah, who is Elijah the Tishbite, also comes out, comes back at the end of the Great Tribulation, or the time of Jacob's trouble, to expose the anti-Messiah, Barack Hussein Obama, to the, particularly the Israelites, after which, so the anti-Messiah, whose name is Barack Hussein Obama, that's who the Lord has revealed him to be prophetically, but also his name is in the Hebrew scriptures, in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, hallelujah. So praise Yah for the divine revelations concerning the Sabbath. I can't teach everything about the Sabbath now, but hopefully what I've shared will be useful to you this week. I say different things every week as the Spirit of God leads me. So you just have to keep listening to what I share, because it's hard to share everything in one audio. It's not always easy to remember everything. There are so many deep secrets of the Lord concerning the Sabbath. The Sabbath is also our bride. Hallelujah. That's another secret. The Sabbath is the bride of Israel, and we are to treat the bride just as Jesus Christ of Nazareth treats us as his bride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, brethren, remain blessed in Yahushua HaMashiach. This is Sister Perpetua Mirembe Orshulami George. And I'm going to stop here and continue in another audio. Shalom, shalom. Saturday, the 23rd of March, 2023, on the Roman calendar and on the Hebrew calendar, is 13th of Adar Bet, or Adar 2. All right, Shabbat shalom once again. Shabbat shalom.